Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Smack my fetch.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. And we're coming at you. Oh, what the heck did I do there? We're coming at you live and unedited from the meme hipster streets of San Bruno, California, the new home, of course, of AMP Radio, AMP Studios, the home of where the slim jeans and the hipsters from YouTube are walking around dangerously. We got to watch out for those. Let's meet our hosts. Unfortunately, alongside of me is not Proteus, who had a little bit of a family emergency. We, of course, hope and pray that everything is going great. So, you know, whenever you have kids, it's, you know, they're bound to bump into things. So we want to make sure that he's doing all right and that, most importantly, his family is doing all right. So let's meet the host for tonight. And you know me, we're always prepared, guys. Got to get everything ready and going. Well, let's meet the lady up north, northeast. The lady, of course, who always has time for Justin Gaethje, the one and only, Pam.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, American woman.
I'm south, not north. Yeah.
Are you south? North Carolina is considered.
I am,
you know,
south.
What? Hold on.
Yep.
Where's the record scratch? Hold on. I'll put the record scratch in later. We got to meet the star of our show. The man, of course, who always has time for Fox News, Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, Fox News, really? You going to say MSNBC? Come on, man.
You know what? Fox News is actually losing all their hotties. But before we go there, hold on. Before we go there, I actually have to, I just said that the lovely Pam was a northeast. Hang on. So much for that San Francisco state education, right? That's going out the door. Hold on.
That's exactly where's what the I did to your mother, buddy.
Good Lord. All right, guys. Well, let's get into Bellator. You know what, guys? This is a good thing.
Before we start, do you move to San Bruno, California?
We're now about halfway from YouTube. Correct.
Yeah, San Bruno, California. So no Bruno. No Bruno, man.
Without Bruno. Hello. Hang on. My. All right. But if you guys think I'm joking, by the way, though, this is the home of the hipsters and the slim of the skinny jeans, Pam. Yeah, now in the mean streets of San Mateo, we got to watch out for techies with their Google glasses and their Anyway, let's get on with it, guys. For the first time, we're having a Smack My Picks of Bellator only edition, Bellator 170, because the UFC decided to skip that card. Well, you know what? I think they've had too many fights anyway. So let's get into it, guys. Bellator 170. Ortiz versus Sonnen. It will take place, of course, January 21st at the Forum in Inglewood, always up to no good, California. The event, of course, will air primetime and free. Like Chael Sonnen says, the only reason why you want to watch is because it's free. Spike TV. Let's get into it, guys. But before we go into this, I want to talk about Tim Kennedy, Marco, because you're a man, and both of you guys actually have something to do with serving its country. Pam's husband, of course, and you, Marco, who, you know, fought for a country. Tim Kennedy, guys, to me, he's Captain America. I'm a big fan of his. I've always been, well, not a big fan, but I'm a fan of his, always have been. And I see big things for him, guys. What say you, Marco?
Well, Tim Kennedy, Special Forces Airborne Ranger, you know, he retired, and he's going to be fine, man. That dude is going to go find Hitler. He's going to go shoot out Baghdad in the eye. And he's probably going to steal your girlfriend all before 9 o'clock in the morning. So he's going to be fine. He owns Ranger Up up in Austin. You know, he got a clothing line. And he had a lot of other projects. He got a lot of source of revenue. And oddly enough, Andy Hitler is one of the highest rating shows in the History Channel. So, yeah. Oh, guess what? He's going to have a third season coming out. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Dean Kennedy financially wise. I will say so that the USC should be worried about Dean Kennedy, that now that he got all this free time on his hands, he's going to be, knee deep in a, the MMA AAA or MA. He's going to be basically the head honcho, the main, the tip of the spear, as they say. And if you get that guy focused and committed to something, you better watch out. This guy kills terrorists for a living. So, if he, now that he's going to have time to put all his focus and energy on this association, like I said, USC, you better watch out. You better be careful. Don't piss Dean Kennedy off. You know what I'm saying? Don't piss him off, because he's going to be trouble. He's going to be a thorn in your side.
I agree. I think the way that he went out, it was just a very classy move on his part. He didn't make any excuses for his fight against Kelvin. He just said, my mind was there, but my body wasn't. And I like that he knew when it was time for him to go. And I agree with Marco that he has so much stuff going on for him that he's going to stay busy, and financially, he's not going to be hurt. I think, if anything, he's probably going to be doing better.
I honestly think. Go ahead, Marco.
One cool thing about it is, like I said, I read his very lengthy Facebook post about his retirement. And the guy was so pointed and so honest with himself. I wish a lot of other fighters would take notice and pay attention, recognize when your time is up. A guy like DJ Penn should take notice of something like that,
Yep.
And Dean Kennedy immediately recognized, okay, I'm not a young man anymore. This is a young man's game, so it's time for me to step aside.
Look at Marco with the segue,
Penn. Yeah, well, I was hoping that we would kind of segue into the whole BJ thing, and because, I hope that he stays retired, because I think, if anything, by continuing to go the way he's going, he's going to tarnish his legacy, I believe.
Well, guys, let's talk about this. So how much of it is BJ Penn? And again, we spoke about this, about him. Everyone, there's this thing about the old school MMA guys and kind of like the newer school MMA people, right? The old school. Still regard, BJ Penn, I think, is the BJ Penn of 2008, but he's not the BJ Penn of 2008.
No.
He's a BJ Penn of 2017, which is better than the DJ Tony of 2017, but still he's a BJ Penn of 2017. He's not the same guy. So let's get into that. So Pam, how much of it do you think is BJ Penn just not being, let's just say, a top 15 guy, and how much of it was just
I think truthfully he's not even a top 15 guy anymore, and I think truthfully he was I guess, for lack of a better word, he was that bad, and Yaid was just that good. He was everything he did was perfect. Is perfect as you can get. And I think a lot of people wanted to see BJ win, mostly for nostalgia. And you have to, the writing's there on the wall. His time is over. And he had a great run. He had a great career. But you can't hang with these young guys anymore. He's, 37, 38?
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to BJ, bro, the last good outing we saw of him was that draw against John Fitch. The last time he won was in November 10 against 2010 against Matt Hughes. But the writing is on the wall. The last four fights, Nick Diaz mollywhopped him. Rory McDonald destroyed him. Then Frankie Edgar mopped the floor with him. And Yair Rodriguez just put an exclamation point.
Yep.
It's not like we didn't see it coming. I mean, every single time in the last four fights, it got worse. It didn't get better. It got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to... The guy did not evolve with the freaking times, man. Even if you want to remain, constant or like... I'm forgetting the word. If you want to remain relevant, you have to stay in the game. He took too many breaks. He retired too many times. He's taking too many beatings, and the guy is just not evolving. I mean, for a fraction of a second, I thought, hey, this might go well. He's moving okay. And then Jair Rodriguez started doing his thing, and I realized, holy shit, this is going to be sad. And it turned really, really sad in the 24 seconds of the second round when he just got, like, whacked. So hard for me to like, say. It's like all your heroes are, loose. DJ Penn was one of my heroes, man, and he just got destroyed. And I'm not kidding. I'm 45-year-old man, but I still respected the guy. It was so much fun to watch him fight. He used to lick the blood of his gloves, and when he put a vagina on the top of the head of Diego Sanchez, it was so much fun. But now it's getting sad. I mean, we saw him cry on the freaking press conference again, and when he retired against Frankie Edgar. This time we didn't hear nothing. And I hope for goodness sake that he just freaking realized that it's over. And every single person on the corner of BJ Penn that told him that, oh, yeah, he can still do this, he needs to get fired. They did the guy a disservice. Every single person around him, his family, his friends, his cornermen, his coaches, every single one of them that told him that he can still do this, they all should look themselves in the mirror and realize that they're as culpable as anybody else at what happened to EJP on Sunday. Bro.
Well, the thing is, when I had made my picks and I had posted, and I got messages from all these people saying, why are you picking Yari? He's overrated and he's this and he's that. But you know what? He is not overrated. He is everything that he says that he is. And he's so humble. So he's not just, I don't think he's a flash in the pan. He's 24 years old. He's growing. He's learning. And I think he's just going to get better.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. The guy is a kid. Mm-hmm. He's a 24-year-old kid that got kids from anywhere. And he's so fast and so dynamic. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Hopefully they do a slow burn with Jair and, bring him along properly. A couple of more fights before we throw him to the top five and then get him ready for contention at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018.
All right, guys, stop this. Stop me. So stop me. So I'm going to name you. I'm going to fly through the first 10. After the 10, stop me when you think that BJ Penn can contend with these people. Now, keep in mind, one of the names going strictly off the UFC rankings, I should go off the USA Today rankings set by our boy, of course, Gorgeous George. Shout out to MMA Junkie Radio. But I'm going to give out some names, all right? So, obviously, the champ, Jose Aldo, Max Holloway, interim, Frankie Edgar, Ricardo Lamas, Cub Swanson, Jeremy Stevens. Who the F is that guy, right? Anthony Pettis, who's moving back up. Charles Oliveira. Now it's going to get interesting. So you guys, I'm at number seven, really number six with Anthony Pettis moving up. But you guys stop me. Just say ding or whatever, right, when you guys think that BJ Penn can even contend. Because I agree with you guys. I think he should have never come back. But Greg Jackson, of course, part of Jackson Wink, said that he could still contend. So, well, before his fight, right? So let's get into this. Dennis Bermudez. All right. Triangle City, Brian Cricket. Ortega. All right. Cricket. Obviously not Yair. How about Duho Choi?
No.
Darren Elkins?
No. Are there any girls on there?
No. Okay. First off,
I'm teasing. The
only fight that made sense the whole time was the Dennis Siver fight. And she's not even a ranked fighter. That was the only fight that makes sense for GB Japan. Cole Miller, not really.
Ooh, I like that fight.
Ricardo Lamas. Yeah, but he was supposed to fight Cole Miller. You know, when Danny Seaver fell off.
Oh, yeah. Cole, you're talking Miller. About before. Yeah.
All these fights. Danny Seaver made sense. Cole Miller. Yeah. Then they say Ricardo Lamas, and we're like, oh, wait, what?
No.
And then they say Jael Rodriguez, and we're like, oh, shit. So, no, nobody on the top 25 right now. The only fight that makes sense for BJ, it was Dennis Seaver, and Dennis Seaver is not even a ranked fighter.
Darn. Well, it's tough to see someone that's that great go, but let's give him his proper bye, guys. No? Nothing in sync?
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing?
No.
No?
I'm sharing a small tear on my eyes. Let me wipe it off.
All right. Darn. All right. I thought you guys would get a kick out of the bye. Nothing? Okay. All right. How about if I give you some MC Hammer? No?
You can't touch this.
No.
No? All right.
You can't touch this.
All right. Forget
it makes me want to dance.
There you go. All right, guys. Let's get into it. So, you know what? Let's continue on with this. So, let's wrap up UFC Fight Night Rodriguez versus Penn before we get into the card. But let's discuss this for... this card was obviously a showcase for Yair Rodriguez, El Pantera, but really poor judging, guys, in this card. And everyone was speaking about Joe Lauzon being pretty fair and saying, listen, I didn't deserve this fight. Man, what's going on? Was this a Phoenix thing, or is this a just poor judging?
This was definitely a Phoenix commission thing, dude, because whoever was the crew of judges that got there, they mess up several times over the whole fight night. We usually don't see such egregious, scorecards during a whole car in other states. You know, you don't see it that much in Nevada. You might see one controversial fight once in a while there. You don't see it that much in New Jersey. You don't see it that much in California. But this, the Phoenix is not a commission that actually places that many high-level MMA fights. I mean, this is the second time, the first time since 2014, and only the second time ever that UFC has been in Arizona. So that will let you know that they're really not that experienced. I mean, they brought the right referees, you know, and even that can be arguable.
Do you think that the new scoring had anything to do with it? The new things that they're allowed to do and things that they're not allowed to do had anything to do with that, or was just poor judging? Because I thought too, Lauzon, I mean, I thought that he lost, because I was even, dang, I've got the shittiest picks this week, because I had gone 0-4-4 at that time. So, but when they said he won, I'm like, okay, well, I'm up one at least, you know. But even and then even he said that, wait a minute, this, you know, I lost that fight. So when a fighter can admit that, hey, wait a minute, I lost that fight, then something's wrong.
See, even though they get this the fight to Lauzon, one of the judges gave a 30-27 to Martin Hill. What was he looking at? On the first round, Martin Hill almost got knocked the fuck out. So, where are you giving Martin Hill one round? The first round he lost. I gave him the second and the third by a landslide because he kept taking Joe Lauzon down and controlling him. And that is what it's like, what happened here? Even Lauzon is like, what happened here? Everybody and their mother on the arena knew that Lauzon lost a fight. The only person that, I guess, the only two people that saw that fight was won by Lauzon was the two judges that get the fight to him. Nobody else did. But then the guy that get the guy to Martin Hill, give Martin Hill all three rounds. So that guy was a dumbass too.
Yeah, that's well, you know what? And I mean, going to judging is how do they decide who is going to judge, and what experience do these judges have? Are they previous fighters, and if they are previous fighters, are they MMA fighters? Are they judging according to boxing? Because boxing is not MMA. So, where do they get the judges, and what are the judges' credentials that allow them to be qualified to judge?
Okay, I'm going to school you a little bit on this. When it comes to experience commissions, A lot of those judges, even though some of them come from boxing and stuff, some of them are former fighters, they have so many fights, they have judged so many fights already, that it's very hard to make excuses for them anymore. You know, Nevada, you know, the Sal D'Amato's, and the Doug Crosby, even though he's an idiot, but, you know, they have a lot of experience. On these small commissions, they are the ones that are training their own people. Like you, Pam, you can go to the North Carolina Athletic Commission tomorrow and apply for a license to become a referee or a judge. And what they do, they'll put you in a little program and you'll judge, you'll shadow some judges to do amateur fights for a while. And then you will do the actual amateur fights. And then they'll graduate you to a small event. And then supposedly you go to the big event. I don't know how the system, how mature the system is in Arizona, but I highly doubt that they got experienced referees and judges to pull like something like this. You know, they most of the time when it comes to the referees, the commission can request the USC, you know, certain referees from other states, you know, that are more famous and stuff, and more experienced, and they bring the referees over. But when it comes to their judges, they usually do it locally because it's cheaper for them. At the end of the day, it is the commission, the one that is flipping the bill for these judges and these referees. And not all judges and referees are created equal. Some of them are a little bit of a higher pay because they come from larger states, you know, and they're used to probably a larger payday.
Well, on that, shout out to Aaron, right, who has become a full-fledged referee, and actually, didn't he do the LFA, the first LFA?
Looking good on TV, Adam Maynard.
Yeah, how about that, huh? Gosh, shout out to Aaron. All right, guys. Let's wrap up with this on the subject. So, Marcin Held, of course, second straight loss, second straight decision loss, and the first one I didn't think he looked very good during Diego Sanchez, but. Yeah, obviously Joe Lauzon was talking about the possibility of Marcin Held being cut. I don't think that's going to happen, you know, after his second loss. But I'm sure, hey, listen, Beltor will gladly take him back. So what do you guys think? Is Marcin Held in jeopardy?
I think that probably they'll give him one more fight.
Yeah, the guy is good enough, man. I mean, I was all on the Marcin Held hype train when he came at the Diego Sanchez fight, and then I expressed my point of view on the last picks. But he showed me something different this time. He showed an intelligent fight. The cards didn't go his way. I mean, everybody, even Joe Lawson is saying he lost a fight. Hopefully they give him one more fight, one more try. But they're not making it any easier for Marcin Held. He's not fighting, you know, Joe Blow Average from freaking who knows where in Bellator. He's fighting, you know, the Diego Sanchez's, the Joe Lawson's right now. Mm-hmm. I would love to see who they're going to give him next, you know, because, like I said, they're not making it any easier for this guy. It all depends. He gets a good showing. They give him a fight and he got a good showing. He's going to stay. But he cannot afford to lose anymore, I tell you that much.
You are correct.
Sorry, guys. I was having problems with the mute button. All right, guys, let's get into it. You know what? Final thing, guys. And I was talking to Marco about this, but Mark Hunt, obviously, it came out that he was suing the UFC, Dana White, and, of course, Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. But now, of course, on the MMA Hour with the one and only Ariel Helwani, he says that he was forced into this fight. So I got to ask this. So I'm going to go with Marco first. Marco, what say you? What was Mark Hunt forced into this fight with Alistair Overeem?
Nobody's forced to sign anything, bro. Nobody put a gun to your head to sign any paperwork. Now, maybe he needed to pay some bills because lawyers are not cheap. And if that is the case, yeah, you got to take the fight because you need some money. But nobody forced you to do anything. The way the contracts work, and Brendan Schaub and Chael Sonnen kind of sort of explained it earlier on Brendan's Big Brown Breakdown, is that by contract, the UFC is obligated to offer you a fight every so often. They're supposed to give you so many fights a year. Now, if you refuse the fight, whoever they give you, they can give you, you know, the guy down the street, or they can give you the world champion. Whoever they give you, you can always refuse the fight, but that automatically extends your contract 6 more months. So that is what a lot of fighters get locked into perpetuity, because they're not taking fights, and the UFC is always going to send you an email, we're going to give you this fight, no, I'm not taking it, you know, I am quote-unquote retired or I'm injured or whatever, automatically extends 6 months. If Mark Hunt needed the money, that's probably why he took the fight. And nobody forces him to do anything, because he can always say no. They offered him the Junior Dos Santos fight. Remember that. And Junior Dos Santos, that's a very lucrative fight. And he said no. And he wasn't on a British contract or anything like that. Somebody's giving him real bad advice, or he's choosing his words really poorly. Because if anybody will tell him that he was on a British contract, he can also put that on the lawsuit. And I think he got very competent lawyers, and they would have told him, hey, guess what? There is no such thing as a British contract. What I think happened is that he's seen a long drag-out battle with the UFC, Brock Lesnar and Dana White, and he needs some cushion on the bank for him to bear this whole process he's going to go through with it.
I will say this, though, guys. Give me 1 second, Pam. I will say this. Sorry for my cheap joke here. Insert cheap joke here. But if that's the case, Brian Caraway is going to be with the UFC forever. Nothing? Okay. Go ahead, Pam.
No music? No. No, I was saying that I had read something about him that he was saying, well, he needs to feed his kids and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, well, God dang, how many kids do you have and how much are those kids eating that you have to take this fight? I mean, do you know what
I mean? You didn't give me like $800,000 on the Lesnar fight? Where did all that money go?
Mm-hmm. Feeding his kids, I don't know.
Oh,
but you know, some big freaking kids.
You know, I mean, because we were kind of, because I was back and forth with Elias on this, like, and we were kind of making fun, but not really. But it was like, well, how many kids do you have that, you know, you have to take this fight to feed all these kids, you know? So I agree with Marco. It's like, nobody can force you into anything. And I think, you know, you can't say, well, they made me do it. You know, nobody can make you do anything but you. You know, they can pressure you, but nobody can make you do something. You know?
Well, yeah, and where all that Lesnar money go? He did make $800,000 for that fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
A year ago?
Well, listen, I mean, as Proteus would say, Dana White is always somewhere, guys. And, you know, how many Sizzlers do they have in Australia? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Oh, my God. Hold on. I have to say,
how many Sizzlers do they have? Go ahead. Hold on, Marco. Hold on. We got to get this on tape. Hang on. So, of course, the one and only Dana White is saying that Mark Hunt had to fight.
Witness the power of this fully operational battle station.
I love that. Oh, man. All right. Let's get into it, guys.
Okay.
Boy, it was sad seeing him out in the stands, right? Like me, like a nobody. All right, guys, let's get into it. Bellator.
Real quick. Did you see Goldie in the stands?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. I mean, how sad is it that, man. I mean,
he doesn't look
Brody
like he's unhappy.
Marco, don't you think it's sad that he's not there?
I'm going to miss the dude. For whatever it is worth, the guy did make a good coin while he was announcing, so he's not a poor man. He's really not a poor man. So he fell in smart with his money and got a good niche. He's going to fall on his feet. Somebody's going to, like, get him. I told you, Vince McMahon at one point offered him a really lucrative contract. You know, he might fall out on that space again. You know, maybe the WWE or something of that nature. You always got to, you know, all these boxing people and keep boxing and I would even say Bellator might want to take a look at Goldie. You know, they want to be UFC light. What better way to make a UFC light than getting Mike Goldberg on the boot?
Yeah, I mean, they already had that bald guy that wears purple shirts.
Ooh, Jimmy Smith.
You're talking about Joe Rogan's clone?
I like Jimmy Smith. I think he's really, really good.
Oh, I do too, but I'm saying it's like they've already got, you know, the guy. They're Joe, you know.
Yeah, but don't forget Sean Grandy's really, really good. Well, let's get into it, guys. Bellator 170. Okay. Even though this is not
the right music. No. I'm not gonna allow you to do this song before we talk about Megan Anderson, dude.
You know what? Marco's 100% right. Hang on. Let's do this right. Hold on. Who'd you say you want to talk about, Marco?
Megan Anderson.
All right, let's do it the right way, guys. Megan Anderson, guys, at, of course, Invicta FC 21. She won the interim title, guys, and, of course, because more than likely, Chris Cyborg will be suspended for about a year. Hopefully she gets some good lawyers because she is fantastic. Megan Anderson, of course, winning in impressive fashion. And the beauty also goes on, get this, guys, she made it the MMA hour with the aforementioned Ariel Helwani. Will she be called up to the UFC? Marco?
Not only yeah, but hell yeah. A 6-foot-tall super hottie that can knock people out, got a chip on her shoulder and can talk back, of course she's going to get called. You know what? I don't know the Megan Anderson hype train right now. What she did to Charmaine Tweed was nothing more than spectacular. She is a lanky offensive fighter, and the size alone, man, it's a 6-footer. She's not gonna make 135 ever in her life, ever. Forget about it. She's 6 foot, and now that Chris Cyborg, you know, is on PED jail, and you know, we don't know how long she's gonna remain. We don't know how long she's gonna remain there. You got this chick that she could be a draw. You know, she can carry a nation, Australia. She's very good looking, and you know how the UFC love their good looking, you know, female stars. And she can fight, and she can talk trash, calling out Holly and Jermaine the Random is telling them, keep my bell warm because I'm fucking coming after it.
Ooh.
I am all on the Megan Anderson high train. Oh, hell yeah. She's not going to be the interim featherweight champion for long. They're going to have to refight the bell again because the next fight of Megan Anderson is going to be on the UFC. And this is not for a title, it's going to be for a number one contender fight. Mark my words.
Okay. Well, let me and Tony talk while you go take a cold shower.
Oh, man, Megan Anderson, good Lord.
But you know what? And I totally missed that fight. I had a performance that night, and by the time I got home, the fights were already over, and I tried to watch them on Fight Pass, and they hadn't been... it wasn't my streaming was over and I couldn't watch the fight, so I missed everything.
You missed the
right
championship
now, you can go
fight?
Watch it after the show.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it soon, but I had just been crazy busy and then football was on. I was like, well, damn, can I have the TV? But you know, gotta share. Gotta be nice.
Yeah, me too. I have never seen that fight.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to quickly talk about one fight on this card that was super weird, the Montenegro Haas fight. Montenegro has on a number at the last second of the first round.
The whole thing,
that,
Marco.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. Right after the bell run, Haas that. So the fight continues. At the end of the fight, Haas got Montenegro on a rear naked choke. Montenegro goes to sleep. The bell rings, but the referee didn't call it like she was out. So the fight is over. But they go to the scorecards, and Montenegro wins. They need to run this fight over. They need to do this fight over. One, because it was a super entertaining fight, and two, because that is so controversial. That girl was out. That is like a knockout that wasn't called. So let's run this fight over again. Haas Montenegro 2. Next Invicta, please.
That, you know, totally agree with you. The whole card, by the way, you got to watch this when you get a chance, without a doubt, Pam, because the weather was going out, the lights were flickering, was just, I mean, that fight was just the weirdest thing I ever saw. And unfortunately for me, Rachel Ostovich lost another fight. And that one is another for me, because I'm the biggest Rachel Ostovich fan that there is. So,
Well, you know what's funny? It just seems on both nights, there was just all kinds of weird stuff happening, because on a fight night, if you see, they stopped the fight that when that one guy, his cup broke. And I was like, well, is that... it was just the weirdest thing. Just weird things were happening that night, too. From cups breaking to judging to, you know, it was just kind of weird, too.
Hey, big shout-out to Nina Ansarov, you know, beating I cannot say the name of... What is it, the chick she beat this weekend, Nina Ansarov?
Who did she fight? I don't know. I wasn't, honestly. Well, I mean, the card wasn't that good.
Yeah, well, the blonde Nina girl with the spiky hair.
Yeah, Nina Ansarov, an openly gay, fighter, you know, with her girlfriend, the champ there.
Jocelyn Jones Lightbarger.
Yeah, and she was fighting an openly gay fighter, too. Is this the first, like, openly gay fighter versus fighter in the UFC? Because I don't remember any other one like that. If that is the case, super cool, and nobody even care because it's not a big deal anymore. In that answer,
but there was a big speed difference between Ansarov and Lightbarger. Lightbarger was really slow. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was, boy. Anyway, the whole night was weird. All right, guys, we're never going to get through this card. Let's get into it, guys. Bellator 170. We're done talking about Megan for now, right, guys?
Okay.
I wasn't gonna play it for her. I was gonna play it for. Did someone say Misha Tate? All right, guys. All right, let's get into it, guys.
Cancel top of this.
70. To the lightweight we go, guys. Derek Campos versus Derek Anderson. You know what? This is actually a pretty good fight. Derek the Stallion Campos, 28 years old, 17 and 6, 5'9". The Stallion, by the way, guys, is 3-2 in his last five, 6-3 over on Bellator. He's a striker. Losses, of course, to Gertz, one of Pam's favorite. Michael Chandler and Patricky Pitbull. Seems like either Patricky Pitbull wins or loses. I mean, boy, that's – never mind. Boy, obviously, someone's got – well, I guess you can draw too, right? Derek the Barbaric Anderson, guys, 26 years young, 14-2-1, 6-footer. So there's a big difference in height here. He's a bit on a winning streak, beating Awad Patricky Pitbull. Again, that name is going to resonate. Mr. Anderson, did you catch that, guys? Mr. Anderson, the Matrix, nothing? All right. Is 5-2 since joining Bellator. He's a bit of a decision machine with a history, of course, of good submission. So we go to Marco. What say you, Derek the Stallion Campos versus Derek the Barbarian? The Barbaric, forgive me, Anderson.
The Barbaric.
Okay, this is the battle of the Derek, so I'm going to pick Derek. Oh, wait, I have to give a link last time. Anderson is the better prospect. I mean, got the better record. He's a tall, lanky guy. A little bit of a decisionator, you're right about that. But at this point of the game, he got the more complete game. He's a good grappler, too. And with those lanky guys always get trouble to these short, stocky dudes. I'm going just on the record and the physical attributes of Anderson. And he's totally going to win over one of the Pitbull brothers. So I'm going to give him his due. Since he's a decisionator, he's going to get a decision on this one. 30-27, Derek Anderson.
Wow. Pamela.
Okay. I am going with I don't know. It's kind of hard because Chief Anderson actually goes all three rounds. Campos actually I don't know if it's his stamina. You know what? I'm going to go with Campos.
Wow.
Simply because his wins are usually in the first or second round. Every win that he has is in the, looks like, first round. Rarely does it go to three. I'm going with Campos.
Wow, so the pick goes to Campos. Of course, Marco picking Anderson. I, too, am like the Matrix. So the pick of Derek all across the board. I'm going with Marco and picking Mr. Anderson. Shout out to the Matrix. Nothing? All right, crickets there.
Mr. Anderson.
There you go. All right. At least we got something there. All right, guys. So I'm picking Anderson via decision. So let's go back into the card, guys.
My name is Neo.
Neo, that's right. We go to the featherweight. We go, guys. Georgie, the insane Karakanyan, of course, a junkie, a nation favorite, 31 years young, 26, 6-1, 5-8. Of course, the junkie favorite, Karakanyan, 3-2 in his last five, guys, 7-3 in his last 10. He's only 3-2 since joining Bellator from World Series of Fighting in 2017. He will fight the El Matador, Emmanuel Sanchez, 26 years young, 13-3, 5'9", so an inch taller. Sanchez 3-2 in his last five, 5-2 overall since joining Bellator. So you got some Bellator veterans here. So we go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, Karakanyan versus Sanchez. What say you?
Okay. I am going with, you ready?
Yes.
I'm going with Insane. Oh, yeah, there you go. I'm going with Insane. His win record, last two fights, his last win was in November. Before that, it was in August. So he's been active 4 months in between fights. I'm going with Insane. And both of those wins again came in the first round. So I'm going with Insane.
Marco, who's that? What say you? Insane Georgie, Insane Karakanyan.
Okay. Yeah.
Who the F is that guy?
Yeah.
No, Georgie
Karakanyan.
Who the fuck is that guy?
I agree with Pam. Karakanyan is a little bit more of a well-known product, you know, especially because I saw him fight in World Series. He's a good fighter. He's never going to be blockbuster, but he's something that people can recognize, especially because he got a name that is kind of catchy, Karakanyan. I think Karakanyan is going to have a good showing. Not known to be a finisher, but he's probably going to decision this guy. Let's keep this Sanchez a one round. It's going to be a 29-28 decision for Georgie Karakanyan.
I agree with Marco. I'm going to go with Karakanyan. I actually am also going to go with the decision over El Matador. But you know what? That's a good name.
El Matador.
You know what? I'm switching, guys. I'm getting off the fence. I'm going to go with El Matador finishing. In a decision over Georgie, Insane in the Membrane, Karakanyan. We go to the middleweight. We go, guys. This is interesting right here. One of my favorite fighters in Bellator, because I just like that kind of style, the Lyoto Machida type. Hisaki, the Japanese musketeer, Kato, 34 years young, 7-2, the 6-footer, guys. Again, this guy reminds me of Lyoto. I was telling Marco. He's 3-2 in his last five, 3-1 since joining Bellator. His lone loss in Bellator to Melvin Manhoff in the first round, a vicious KO. He's going up against one of the famous families in all of MMA, Hollick Gracie, 31 years young, or as some people call him in the U.S., Rollick. Nothing? Crickets? Okay. All right. Rollick. All right. Hollick Gracie, guys, 31 years young, 3-2, 6'2", from the legendary bloodline, the son of Horian Gracie. He's making his belt debut. And Pam, I got to tell you this. He hasn't fought in 7 years, so he's been dormant for seven years. Not to mention, of course, all the Metamora's debacle, Marco, that we saw. So we go to the beautiful Pam. Halleck Gracie versus the Japanese musketeer, Hisaki Kato. What you got?
I'm going with Hisaki only because Gracie has been dormant for so long. Does that mean he has not been fighting? No, that doesn't mean that at all. But Hisaki's last win was in October of last year. And again, in the first round, I'm going with Hisaki.
Marco, what say you? Did we lose Marco?
I don't know.
I hear. Oh. New bottom problems. Gracie is 3-0, and I seen they're kind of tailor-mading this guy to make Gracie look good. You know, having a Gracie in, or a member of the Gracie family look good is always good for any promotion. The only reason is because Hawker and their matchmakers are really good and trying to highlight the people they want to highlight. I think Gracie is going to get this one, and it's going to get it by like a, some sort of submission in the second round. So I'm going with Roller Gracie. Plus, the dude needs to win some money because he owed money to a lot of people that he didn't pay him anymore.
Including his brothers, apparently. Good Lord. All right, guys. So, Marco, of course, going with Halleck. Pam going with Kato. I'm also going to go with Kato. I just don't – this guy can fight, guys. He's not the youngest guy, but this guy can fight. And I'm telling you, this guy reminds me of Lyoto Machida. And, of course, if it goes to the ground, you know, listen, any Gracie on the ground is dangerous. But – long layoff, guys. I agree with Marco that they're trying to set this up, but Kato is no joke, guys. So I'm going with Kato in some sort of KO or TKO. Let's just say second round. You know what? I'm going to go first round, KO or TKO. I'm not kidding, guys. This guy's dangerous. So I'm picking Kato. We go up to you know what? I'm forgetting the music. Who the heck cares? All right, we're going up to the welterweight. To Pam's favorite, Irish Brennan Ward, 28 years young, 14-4.
You already know who I'm picking.
Right, this 5'10" crazy guy. I mean, Irish Brennan Ward is 7-3 in his last 10, 4-1 in the last 5, which is his only surprise loss, guys, to Cyborg Santos. He's going up against Marco Paul Semtex. By the way, if anyone can tell me why he chose that nickname, I'd appreciate it. Daly, 33 years young, 38, 4-2, 5'9", but this human bonus machine, Daly's just a monster. I mean, he really is. So we go to Pam. Pam, should we even ask you who your pick is?
You don't even have to ask. Come on. You know who I'm going with. But to make it official, I'm going with Brennan Ward.
Method and round, Pam?
How?
It is going to go 3-round decision. It's going to be packed full of action, full of striking. It's going to be exciting. And I'm going with Brennan Ward.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what Semtex means. Semtex is a form of explosive that the British Special Forces use. It's like the C4 of the United States. So Semtex is because he got basically dynamite on his punches. That's why Paul Daly calls himself Semtex. So that
is look at that.
But I agree with Pam. I always saw Paul Daly is a little bit overrated. He beats up a lot on people that he's supposed to beat up, you know, when it's low-level competition. But every time he sniffs the elite or people that got, you know, the like real top fighters, yeah, he gets school. And I've seen Brendan Ward is among those that are sniffing the elite. He's not an easy out. And I'm more into the Brendan Ward trend than on the Semtex trend. I always think Paul Daly has been a little bit overrated over the years. He's an action fighter. He got a little bit better on his grappling. I got to give credit where credit is due. And yes, he does pass some power on his punches. But when he cannot bully you around, when he cannot dictate the pace, he becomes really pedestrian, and I see Brendan Ward is going to break into him and making a back pedal, and then his whole plan is going to go to the twos, and Brendan Ward is going to win a unanimous decision.
Darn.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
You know what? Marco's right. I didn't even know what the heck Simtix was, but I agree with you guys. I think Daly fights to the level of his competition. In this case, I think Brendan Ward, even though he's careless and just swings like a wild man, I agree. I just think Brendan Ward right now is at a different level right now, just a tad above. I do think this is going to be, just like Pam said, action-packed. I think that's going to go all three rounds. I think people are going to go down. Noses are going to break. And I think Ward wins this via split decision, you guys. So I'm choosing Brendan Ward.
Yep, they're going to have their mop buckets ready.
That's right. All right, guys. All right, guys, let's move up to the main event. It is, Marco, H to the triple B. Boy, I miss our boy Clearwater. I don't know where the heck he's gone. Tito, Huntington Beach bad boy Ortiz, 41 years young. And actually, I do think he still looks okay. 18-12-1. You know what? I always forget how big he is. He's bigger than I always imagined at 6'2". The People's Champ, guys, is 2-3 in his last five and 3-7 in his last 10. So he hasn't looked good, guys, not with younger competition, but he did look good because I was there initially with against Liam McGeary. I mean, he was winning ground and pound until he got caught in a triangle. So he's going up against Chael P. Sonnen. By the way, did you guys know that the P stands for icon? Nothing? Okay. Crickets? Where are my crickets?
Crickets.
All right.
Crickets.
All right. That's his own joke, by the way. Chael P. Sonnen, 39 years young, 28-4-1, guys, 6'1". I don't think he's that tall because I stood right next to him. We were the same height. So Chael was 6-4, guys, in his last 10, 2-3 in his last five. But here's the thing, and it hasn't looked bad at all. Actually, he's looked really good. That said, he hasn't fought in 3.5 years, guys. Well, at least 3 years. So ring rust is real, except with everyone except for one, the Dominator, Dominic Cruz. He did, Chael has done his grappling matches. He did one in 2016 against Bisping, and a couple, one in 2015, one in 2014. So we go to the one and only Marco. Tito Ortiz versus Chael Sonnen. What say you?
First of all, Tito Ortiz is a large man. I met the guy personally back in 2008. Or was it 2007, 2008. He was walking out of one of the clubs on the Palms of Las Vegas with his then girlfriend, Gina Jameson. Gina is tiny. And Gina Jameson and Gina is really tiny compared to Tito. Tito's a gorilla, dude. And I'm not a small guy, but Tito dwarfs me. But that said, man, Tito is allegedly his last fight. That's what he keeps telling us. I'm a little bit concerned on the fact that Chael Sonnen is has been away for so long because, you know, he was on PED jail. You know, his first fight ever since he came out of suspension. But every single thing indicates to me that Chael Sonnen is a little bit better at wrestling than Tito, a little bit better at striking than Tito, a little bit better at cardio than Tito, you know, maybe. You know, according to Tito, he's a cardio king, but who knows? And Tito always had too many excuses, man. He always does. Like, oh, my neck is messed up, my back is messed up. So it's always an excuse. I don't know what the excuse is going to be after this fight, but even though there is a lot of question marks on Chael Sonnen because of the layoff, and he's not in the sauce anymore, allegedly, you know. Allegedly, he's not doing, Mexican supplements anymore. I think Chael Sonnen is going to be able to grind his fight. It's going to be a boring fight. Don't expect an action-packed fight. It's going to be a grinding and a pitter-patter, ground and pound, you know. Frustrating, a lot of boos, a lot of people, you know, kind of sort of upset that, you know, this is what we're getting for the main event. It's not going to be horrible, but it's not going to be exciting. And I'll give Chael Sonnen on a 30-27 unanimous decision at the end of the day, because it is a three rounder. This is not the UFC. This is Bellator, people.
What say you, Pam?
Okay, well, I'm going with Chael, because if you look at Tito's record from 2006 to 2010, five losses in a row. Then he wins one against Ryan Bader, loses to Rashad, loses to Nogueira, loses to Griffin, wins against Shlemenko, wins against Bonner, and then loses to McGeary. Okay, so you win against Bonner, who has lost, you know, how many fights has he lost? Well, you're going to Sonnen. Granted, no, he has not fought since 2013, but his fight resume, he loses to Rashad, he beats Mauricio, he loses to John Jones, he loses to Anderson Silva, beats Michael Bisping, beats Brian Stann, beats Nate Marquardt. So I think that his fight resume is just a little bit more impressive. I think Tito has had too many injuries to keep him fluid and agile as he should be. And I think Chael is just stronger. I don't know if he's bigger, but I think he's stronger. I think his cardio is better. I think his ground game is better. I think that his power is better. And I am actually taking a first round knockout by Chael.
Wow. Good Lord.
That is bold.
That is bold. Good. You know what? I don't know if I see that. Hang on. I think Rhonda just left you a message, Pam.
Fetch.
Ooh. All right. You know what, guys? So right when this fight was announced, I said it's going to be Chael all the way. And then I started thinking about this. Ring rust is real, guys. Anyone that tells you that, there's only been one person that I can think of that has been able to avoid ring rust, and that's the Dominator, Dominic Cruz. And he really was out. And the more that I'm listening, because I was, of course, you know me, I'm always listening to the fighter and the kid.
Excuse me, bitch.
That's right. I do listen to that show. I was listening to the fighter and the kid just like Marco was. And you know what? Chael said something interesting to, and he said it a couple times, guys. I think he also said it to Ariel Helwani. But he said that training camp has been more difficult than he remembers. So that tells me that his body is finally breaking down a bit, just like mine when every single time I get off the chair and I have to go, nothing. All right. Okay. All right, guys.
Snap, crackle, pop. But,
yeah. Good Lord. You know what? And I'm actually in pretty good shape. Damn, that's weird. But
try to tell that to a former paratrooper. Every single joint in my body hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you deserve it. I mean, the thing is, you fought for our country. I'm just a former Cheeto
it.
Fingers.
I don't
those aches and pains are earned.
Yeah, exactly. Those are earned.
I earned it. Yeah.
Yeah, you earned it, and I did it. Well, actually, I'm not Cheeto fingers. Well, never mind. Who cares? All right. But, guys, the more that I look at this, I started going on the Ortiz bandwagon, and then I started looking at this, guys. Chael Sonnen, believe it or not, has fought most recently. Well, I'll put it to you this way. The last time Tito fought was in 2017, and I was there in San Jose with Goes. Of course, he had better seats than I did. But that was in September 19th, 2017. That's the last time he fought. So technically, Chael has fought.
He fought in the future? He fought in the future?
I'm sorry. Okay. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, I was confused right there. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
We got to
my
go back
bad.
To the future.
September of 2015 was the last time he fought.
Yeah. Sorry. September 19th, 2015.
Marty.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Marty,
sorry.
We got to go back to the future.
I know.
That's right. Hold on. Let's erase. All right. But, guys, I just think Chael's a little smarter. I really do. I think I agree with Marco. I think this is going to go all five. So I think Chael, Patrick, Sonnen, the
three.
P is for icon. What's that?
Three rounders.
You're right. I'm picking Chael Sonnen beating Tito Ortiz in a decision.
Okay.
Nothing? All right. All right, guys.
No, I'm just laughing.
I don't know.
You know what? Because I'm just laughing because I'm just thinking of them having like oxygen in each corner there so they can catch their breath, you know. Not being mean, of course, but you know.
But I got to give this to Tito and Chael. They never been guys like gas in fights. So if they're going to they're gonna give us their all, and it's going to be kind of entertaining. But like Pound was saying, Tito, he beat Stefan Bonner that hasn't fought since 2010. And then beat another Blom Welter with a fight at middleweight on Eshlemenko, you know, because Eshlemenko should be fighting a welterweight, but that's just my opinion. And then before that, you cannot see a win until the Ryan Bader fight, and that was a fluke, because Ryan Bader was supposed to win that fight.
And that was 6 years ago.
Right over him. Yeah, so there you go.
Darn.
Like,
all right,
if
well.
Ryan Bader fought Tito Ortiz today, who you think will win?
If
Ryan Bader.
Ryan Bader.
Oh, my God, Ryan. Easy.
What do you think, Marco?
You just guys made my point. It's like that was a fluke victory for Tito.
Yeah.
And before that fight, the Ryan Bader fight, his earliest win was the Ken Shamrock fight back in the freaking 2004. So, yeah. That is what I'm picking, Chelson. And even though he might have ring rust, Tito also got some ring rust because, like you say, his last fight was September 2015, the freaking Liam McGillery fight. And I got credit to Tito looked good for a few minutes in there, but you know he still got caught with a triangle choke. So there you go.
Hey guys, before we leave, I want to ask you about this, and I'm going to give it away now. But
there's a little snake in the grass right there.
Some all right, so boy. I watch Tough. Do you guys watch Tough, or am I the only one left that still watches Tough?
I occasionally catch it if I hear that the fight was good that night. I go on and watch the on-demand rerun. But I'm not as religious as I used to be about it.
Darn. All right.
Thank you, dummies.
Okay. Well, so what do you guys think? Before we leave, so what do you guys think? The new Tough, of course, TJ Dillashaw versus, Team Dillashaw, right? Versus Team Garbrandt. What say you, Pam?
You know what? I think... I wish, you know, we talked about this one time before, and I wish they would focus more on the fights the way they used to, where you lose the fight, you're out. Now it's just more, it just focuses on the drama between the coaches. And you know what? That gets boring. It's like, you know, we're adults and we want to watch quality fights and see who's coming up. I don't want to watch bullshit fighting like Mean Girls.
Darn.
That's what they're a bunch of Mean Girls. Like, you know, that gets boring, you know, it gets really boring after a while. So if they can maintain themselves as professionals, then I think it will be good. But if they're going to go on these little, oh, you're a snake in the grass, oh, you're a Team Alpha fail, or you know, okay, that's just going to get boring, I think, anyways. That's my opinion.
Marco?
On the other side of the coin is me. last season was good on the quality of the fights. Now, nobody can deny that. But rating-wise, they didn't do too well. I mean, they got the 16, you know, champions from all over the place to the winner gets to fight Demetrius Johnson, and Team Elliott did a fantastic job on his outlet, you know, good for him. And then we got the Seguro-Benavides fight. That was a fantastic fight, too. And it was all cool. And a lot of people were harping about the fact that, you know, the heat that Seguro and Benavides got, you know, actually helped to sell their own fight.
Yep.
I like this. I like the fact that they got Dillashaw and Garbrandt as the coaches. First of all, because it's assures that till the fight is going to happen, Dillashaw is going to get his chance to you know to fight for the belt again. It's going to be some heat because these guys do not like each other, and that is going to be entertaining. I want to be entertained. I love the fight.
No,
I love the Bushido. I love the sportsmanship. But once in a while, I like to see some trash talk. I want to see that people are getting into a fight and they don't really like each other and they're going to try to get, like, knock their heads off. I'm going to wait and see what kind of cast we get for the season. All we know right now is the coaches. And I'm very happy with the coaches. It's going to build up the championship fight and it's going to be super entertaining. But I'm going to hold on my opinion about the show until I see who's going to be on the show. I know they're trying to do a rerun of like former Tough alumni and people that have already been on the show and people that are trying to make a comeback. But until I see the roster, I'm going to hold my my opinion until then.
Well, see, I agree with you. It should be entertaining. But what I'm saying is I don't want the main focus of Tough to be on the rivalry between Cody and TJ. You know?
Darn, I do.
I mean, is it strike a good balance? Is it strike a good balance?
Well, you know what? You know what's funny is that I read somebody had posted a comment when they first came out with this. They said that the best thing that they should do is bring Connor to sit on the stands and then just talk shit to both of them.
Yeah. Well, I read that it's going to be a little bit different, too, because according to Brendan Schaub, now they are outsourcing the production. It's not no longer a USC production, but it's going to be outsourced because of the budget cuts, they're going to outsource the production to a WME subsidiary. Yep.
Wow. All right.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Dominic Cruz had something to say about that.
It's a cool essay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. All right. Guys, let's go ahead and end the show. But before we end the show, like always, of course, we always have to talk about what we've been watching, guys. So let's get into it. We go to Marco. Marco, what have you been watching? Oh, you know what? Hold on. One thing. What is your spotlight fight of the night? That's a fight that's not on the main card for Bellator 170 that you want to watch. I'll give you mine right now to sort of put it on perspective. The fight that I'm looking for that's not on the main card that I'm looking for, you guys know I'm a big Lyoto Machida fan, so I'm looking for Chinzo Machida to fight
that's
Jamar
my
Big
pick.
City Ocampo. You can pick that too, Pam. You can pick that too.
Okay. I was looking at that earlier. I was like, that's going to be my fight. Okay, so that's my fight too. Baby Machida, even though he is the older brother.
Yeah, he's older, but he looks younger, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he looks younger, but he's older.
Yeah, my spotlight of the night is going to be Jack May versus Dave Cryer. Jack May is a striker, knockout artist. He got his right on the UFC, didn't do too well. But I think Bellator is not looking good. They're going to match him up with people that he can knock out. And I slowly but surely build his name to something that we're going to have to pay attention to.
Interesting that no one picked the women's flyweight Rebecca Ruth versus Colleen, former Invicta Schneider. That's not a bad fight either. All right, guys, let's get into it. So, TV show, or what is the must-watch? I got to be honest with you. I'm giving you mine right now, and I gave it last week, but it's getting better. I've always been a Celebrity Apprentice guy, for whatever reason, this season wasn't getting to me, but Chael is starting to heat up, guys, and when Chael talks smack, I listen. So Chael P for Icon, Sonnen, of course, on Celebrity Apprentice. Marco, what say you?
Well, I'm going to sound like a geek right now, but I've been entertaining myself watching C-SPAN and watching Senator Elizabeth Warren grilling and schooling every single Donald Trump nominee that goes into her comedy. I love Mr. Elizabeth Warren. She should have run for president. She didn't, but she's going to be a ton on the ass of Donald Trump for whatever time he's going to be in office.
I'm still watching Taboo with Tom Hardy. Yeah, Taboo with Tom Hardy.
I got to watch that. Is that any good?
Yeah, it's good. It's on Spike. And it's getting interesting. The only thing is their accents are so strong that I swear that I need subtitles for this.
Wow. How about that? All right, guys, let's go ahead and then before the music ends, Twitter follow of the week. I'm going to give it to the one and only Chael P. Sonnen. Follow Chael and Marco. Well, actually, we're going to end with Marco. Pam, who are you following this week?
You know what? Brendan Ward.
All right.
Brendan and Ward.
The one and only Marco.
Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow DJ Tony at DJ Tony. Follow Pam at Pandora X, if I'm correct. Follow
Double X.
Podcast as another MMA cast. Follow MMA Junkie Radio with that elite guy, catching guys next week.
And like that, whew, we're gone.
Good night.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
like that.